So here on the Front Range, we have in the foothills, ponderosa pine ecosystems are the dominant ecosystems here. And these are the trees that are just outside of Boulder here, kind of right in the foothills. And as you go up higher in elevation, moisture increases. And so we get additional species such as Douglas fir, and then we get on up into lodgepole pine forest up around, say, Nederland and above Nederland, and then on up into what are called spruce fir forest, and then into the alpine. That's the transition and forest type that occurs with these elevational moisture gradients, and then a lot of other environmental things occur with that same gradient, such as fire and the way in which these forests are adapted to fire regimes there.
And how are we doing with the trees? Because it seems to be constant bad news, whether it's a pine beetle epidemic or the fires or climate change. How are our trees
Yeah,
doing?
we do have a lot of issues that are facing our forest here on the Front Range, and you mentioned several just now. But fire is, of course, the big one. These are fire-adapted systems, so fire has occurred throughout time on the Front Range. But what we're seeing more recently is just an increase in overall wildfire activity and increase in some of the size of the wildfires just in the last few decades. And then we're particularly concerned about fire severity and these really large-scale, high-severity fires that have impacts to the people living in the foothills and what we call the wildland-urban interface, and then other values such as water, wildlife habitats, those kinds of things.
Well, David Haskell, now you obviously are a forester and a forest researcher, but your latest book, The Songs of Trees, talks not just about trees, but how, as humans, we are connected to them on levels that we may be not aware of.
Yes, I traveled to about a dozen different trees around the world, some here in Colorado and others overseas in the Amazon and Jerusalem and in Europe, and sat and listened to trees, literally listened to the acoustics of trees, talked to people whose lives were connected with trees to discern the many ways that people and trees are interconnected. And that interconnection is universal wherever I went. People's lives, people's cultures, both at an individual level and then at level of communities, were deeply connected with trees and forests. And also our literature, our culture, our religious symbols are deeply connected into understandings of trees. And I think in this new ecology, this new world that we're living in, with rapid climate change and water scarcity and increased fire, as Rob was discussing, those relationships are taking new forms. Right here on the Front Range, we're at the very cutting edge of many of those changes, feeling it and waking to it in a way that people in other parts of the world maybe are not experiencing just yet. And so Colorado turns out to be, from a global perspective, a really interesting case study for how we can integrate our lives, the human economy, with the lives of trees and the ecosystems on which we depend. Without these forests, we don't have clean water, we don't have good air. Every breath we take, we're connected to the forests of the world. Every mouthful of food, every sip of water, we're connected to trees. We're also connected in other ways that are below the level of consciousness. When you pick up and read a book, you're actually connected to the trees that made that connection between two human points of consciousness. That's what's happening when we're reading. That's mediated by trees. Or when you listen to a guitar or a violin, you're also hearing the sound of the tree. The vibration of that wood is a story about ecology as well as about human artistry.
It seems, though, that our connection to trees hasn't always been positive, and certainly here along the Front Range. And Rob, to your point that one of the biggest threats is fire. And a lot of people would point to the fact that we're living more in the WUI, the wildland urban interface. That has led to maybe mismanagement of some of the fires, in terms of we now have a focus on fire suppression as opposed to healthy fires in the context of forest management. So humans haven't always had a very good relationship in terms of what we're doing to the trees. How can we change some of that?
Yeah, that's right. We've certainly disrupted some of the natural ecology and the ecological dynamics that have occurred through time in these forests. And one of the ways in which we have disrupted that ecology is through fire suppression. And what we're doing with the organization that I work for, the Nature Conservancy, is really working with partners to restore that balance and bring back some of these ecological processes like fire, but in a way that is more in line with how fire behaved historically and less impactful from the standpoint of impacting wild and urban interface communities and again, some of those values like water and wildlife habitats. So I would say that historically we've created conditions that can make things like fire worse, but a lot of the effort currently is aimed at really trying to reverse some of the things that we've done in the past and use the science that we have from the various research that's gone on the Front Range to guide what we should be doing in order to restore these forests and their processes.
And is that a simple prospect, given if you even just look out the window here, look up at the foothills, you see so many houses built
right
within the forest, single family dwellings. It's very hard to reverse that type of land planning that's been happening over many, many years.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What we're trying to do in terms of a vision for the Front Range and the forested ecosystems is to have a mix of what we call a restored landscape that is resilient to fire with these human communities that are there, and have the human communities be fire adapted. So implementing practices in line with what is known as fire adapted communities. So things like defensible space around homes, use of building materials that are less flammable. So really trying to coexist with this natural process that we know is going to continue to occur.
Well, David Haskell, you've traveled the world and you've looked at trees and communities living with forests and trees and their relationships. Can we look to any communities that are doing it right, that are really listening to the trees and are coexisting in a way that we could all learn from?
Well, I think your comment about listening to the trees is the first step. And of course, that listening takes many ways. Each of us can adopt a tree and just commit every week to checking in with it and sort of learning its ecology, learning its story. And then at a community level, we can learn about the ecology and the natural history and the human history of our places. And that's happening here in Colorado. And the Nature Conservancy is leading some of that work. And then at a scientific level, there's another way of listening with data, which is studying forests over decades, looking back through dendrochronology over centuries to try to understand how it is that we have bound our life so closely to trees and how we can move forward into the future. I do think some of the fire management, fire resilience programs here in Colorado are showing the way for many other communities. It's a big challenge, of course, because Colorado's human population is booming and climate change is happening, but people are on the front edge of this being very proactive. In other parts of the world, say in the very dry Middle East, where people don't have quite such natural forests, that they're living in relationship with olive groves, sometimes that are hundreds, maybe thousands of years old. There too, water scarcity and fire and, of course, human conflict are a big challenge. And there are communities that are, again, being proactive and saying, if we look at the history of human habitation in the Middle East, when people and trees have worked together in a productive way, both have thrived. When that, for whatever reason, through war or drought, when that bond between people and trees has been broken, civilizations have collapsed. And that's sort of not an exaggeration. The Bronze Age collapse of civilizations went from a whole load of thriving, very literate societies to no archaeological record. The Dead Sea completely dried up because of drought and because of human conflict.
I think we're all agreed trees are beneficial and that we do need to coexist with them, and yet they are facing so many issues. Are there any pieces of policy, Rob Addington, that we should be paying attention to around forest management, and particularly this issue of fire, because we're almost in a year-round fire season at this point. You look at climate change and what's happening with the forests. What should we be paying attention to when it comes to some of these broader issues?
Yeah, that's right. And your point about fire seasons increasing, there is a lot of good science coming out that is showing that the length of fire season is increasing with warmer temperatures and with climate change, and we should continue to expect that increase in season. In terms of the policy, there's a lot actually going through the state legislature right now and also at federal levels that is really important in terms of supporting forest management and forest restoration in particular, from the standpoint of reducing the densities of trees that are on the landscape, restoring fire where we can do that safely and effectively, and improving overall the health and condition of these forests so that they are more resilient to things like fire, things like beetle outbreaks, drought, and other effects that we would expect with climate change.
Well, David Haskell, if there's one thing a listener could do today to improve the situation or to really connect with a tree, what would that be?
I would offer an invitation, and that is to find a tree in your neighborhood or somewhere in your daily movement pattern and literally adopt that tree and do an experiment. Over the next 2 weeks, commit to going there every day or every other day and just spend a few minutes attending to that tree. Open your senses to it. What's the texture of the bark? What does it sound like? What's the quality of light today compared to 2 days ago? And right now is an amazing time to do it in Colorado because all the leaves are they're exploding. The cottonwood leaves are three times as big today than they were yesterday. Return again and again without any expectation of what you're going to learn from that tree, but befriend the tree and listen through all the senses and then ask, how can I give back to this community? It may be that particular tree. It may be some other question. But what am I learning here about how I might reciprocate and live in relationship with these other beings?